And welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, July 26th, 2025. Yeah, that's correct. Season 19, episode 23. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And welcome into the show, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. If you want to get in touch with us, there's an easy way to do that, and that is, well, there's plenty of ways to do that. You can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. You can hit us up on Twitter and Blue Sky. We're on Facebook as well. Leave us messages there if you'd like to throw in a comment. We got our Discord going, which you can join in there by going to our website, ingamechat.net. There's a link to our Discord, or just go to Discord and you can find us there. You can get in. It's pretty easy to get into. Like, I don't think you have to jump through many hoops to do it. Just find our thing, join in, agree to the terms, which are, you know, just like, you know, be normal, behave. That's it. And then you're in. You can also watch us on Twitch and join in the chat room while we're on Twitch as well. Go to twitch.tv, then just search for In-Game Chat and you'll be able to find us. And join us live while we broadcast the show. So, welcome in, everybody. Appreciate you joining us. Let me do this first, because I remember I had to find it last week. It's not hard to find, because there's these big audio spikes. So they're pretty easy to find. But it's much easier if you do it at the beginning than if you do it halfway into the conversation.
Right.
or at the beginning of the next segment or something like that. So, anyway, that's that. And show note, we are not doing a show next weekend. So I know it's only been like 2 weeks back since my surgery stuff. But yeah, going to take another weekend off. That's the first weekend of August. And that should put us on a path going all the way through, you know, to Labor Day weekend. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, we'll do that and take that weekend off as well, as usual, what we do. So anyway, just telling you, no show next weekend. So, and thanks for all the support. We appreciate it. I know it's a once-a-week show, so having a week where we don't do one is probably a big inconvenience for a lot of you. So I try as best I can to not maybe like take off one weekend a month if I can do it. So anyway, thank you for your patience, but yeah, back on that schedule here soon. Meanwhile, in the Hall of Justice... I think every time I say that, that's all I think about. Because mm-hmm. That's what they said. Meanwhile, in the Hall of Justice, the Super Friends.
Huh? That was William Conrad, wasn't it?
Is it? I don't know. I don't know. I just remember the voice was a very overly dramatic voice for a very silly cartoon show.
Yeah? Because I know he did Bullwinkle and Friends. I remember he did that one.
Oh, was that the same dude?
William Conrad, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to remember if he did the same for Super Friends.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the same voice, but yeah, mm-hmm. Very dramatic. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, in the Hall of Justice. RJ.
Yeah.
At your Hall of Justice, what were you playing? your Fortress of Solitude?
Yeah, mostly the same.
In your Batcave? I don't know. What would you have?
What would I have?
Well, like, This is completely...
off topic.
Yeah. This is just me asking you the question. Would you have a Batcave, a Fortress of Solitude? Would you have a Hall of Justice? Would you have a Legion of Doom? I don't know. What was the Legion of Doom?
What the?
Well, no, they were Legion of Doom. Well, that's wrestling, but also that was also in the Marvel, the DC Super Friends show. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember. They were located in like a swamp, and I'm not sure what the name of the thing was called.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got Hall of Justice. It's like you got Castle Grayskull and you got Snake Mountain, mm-hmm. right? You got Hall of Justice and then you had something.
Something.
Yeah, because there was the Justice League and then there was the Legion of Doom, but I don't remember what they were.
Yeah, most of the shows I watched, the villains just had a different hideout every week. They didn't have like a set location. They just moved different places over there.
Yeah, because if you have a set location, everybody knows where you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Once they find out, you're going to have to do that.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I didn't see that much.
Go ahead. I'm sorry to distract. It's going to do that. I'm really kind of, oddly enough, I know it's 4 in the afternoon. I'm very tired.
Well, you had a busy day.
No, I just don't think I slept. At this point, I don't think I slept well. Mm. You know, you get up, and you go about your day and you get asked, hey, how'd you sleep? And it's like, they slept pretty well. But then as the day goes on, you're like, you know what? I don't think I slept pretty well. Hmm. Obviously, if I'm feeling like this. Now, I've had some coffee about an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that's working or kicking in or at least going to get me through the 2 hours. I don't know.
Good brewed or out of a Keurig?
Oh, it's coffee. Gas station coffee.
So it's been sitting a while brewing, really nice and concentrated.
You say that, but, and you know, plug for a moment, even though they don't advertise. The Quick Trip down the street by Sam's.
Right.
I don't know if I've talked about this on the morning show. I don't know if I've ever talked about this on here.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been open very long. Yeah. At least like a few months now.
2 months.
It's been open. One side of the thing is their entire coffee collection of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all, you got your hot coffee and your hot tap.
Yeah.
Where you can, you know, pull the thing and put your own, like, brew in there. And then the other half is their cold versions of everything.
Mm-hmm.
On tap and whatever else. And then on the other, you know, opposite of that is, like, your whole bar of creamers and sugars and things you're going to put toppings and whatever else.
Mm.
Now, across the building, so if you go to the other side of the building, there's a whole wall of tea and soda. All kinds of different flavored teas, sweet and unsweet.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you in the north, we have the option here. and then your soda fountain stuff. Next to that, another long wall, like you got your refrigerator stuff on that side, and mm-hmm. then across the way from that is your slushy drinks.
Yeah,
just a wall of slushy drinks.
Yeah,
it's honestly it's fantastic. On Friday, I stopped by there. So on Friday, I go over there to, because Sam's is right over there. I go to Sam's, pick up what I need to pick up if I need to pick up anything, and then I go in there and I get me a fruity sweet drink. You know, because it's hot here and it's so very hot. And so those are really nice. And then on Saturdays before the show, I go over there, fill up on gas, not at the Quick Trip, but to fill that at Sam's because it's cheaper.
Yeah.
But then I pull right into the parking lot and grab the coffee
mm-hmm.
to kind of wake me up for this. I think it's kind of working by my rambling that we're doing. So anyway, yeah, I've had coffee, but man, I'm tired. So anyway.
Well, Give it a few moments. It'll kick in for you.
I'm sorry to interrupt again. What have you played?
It's pretty much more of the same with Grand Theft Auto. I'm trying to get my goal of a million in-game dollars a day. And I've been doing that pretty consistently. But other than that, still playing Virtua Fighter 5 for the league that I do every Sunday. And I think I'm getting to the point where the book against me is just wait for me to screw up and then punish accordingly. So I'm trying to get through analyzing all the moves that I have for my characters and seeing which ones I can do safely and not get as punished as much for it as I used to when I go for something big and high risk.
Yeah.
Get something stable and something that'll keep me into the match longer than normal. But outside of that, let's see. I've looked at the free games for PS5.
Ooh.
And I saw Cyberpunk was on there.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if it was going to be Cyberpunk or Cyberpunk plus the
DLC.
But
you picked up Cyberpunk, though,
I picked
didn't
up
you?
Cyberpunk on the PS4. I've had it on the PS4 for a long time. But like I said, I've been saving
space.
Does it
space. Not carry? I guess it doesn't carry over?
The game, I still have access to the game, but I'm wondering if the DLC is
included,
on that
included
in this one. Probably not. If the history of free games on PS4 and 5 is any indicator.
Well, no, because they did an expansion. Well, I say it's expansion.
Yeah, it's an expansion.
Yeah, they did an expansion.
There was
Phantom
an expansion
Liberty.
On it. Yeah, Phantom Liberty. That's the name of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not included. I can almost guarantee you that that's not included.
Not included.
Because that was a expansion. That was not necessarily, what do I want to call it? It's a DLC, yes. But mm-hmm. it's really considered an expansion. And not an expand alone or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's considered one of those kind of like separate things. They have not done a game of the year edition type thing for this.
Well, I still call it a DLC because if it's something I can, it's more stuff to the game that I don't have to buy another disc for,
mm-hmm.
then it's DLC to me. So I've always called it DLC for that game. But if it's not included in there, it's just another transfer from the PS4 to the PS5, which along with my entire library. So it's probably going to be another add to the library, but I've got to do it on the PS5 and see what happens there.
Well, definitely add it to the library on PS5, if anything. Just add it to the library. You don't have to download it, but just add it to your library.
Yeah. And then I looked at Steam, and they told me that The Operator was on sale for like $9.57 or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to probably pick that up and add it to the library on Steam and see if I can start playing that in the future.
One of the days that I was away during my recovery time, The Operator was free on Epic Game Store. I don't remember when it was, but I feel like because I know how much you wanted it, I would have at least mentioned it.
Yeah.
That, hey, it's free. But I also feel like maybe that was when I was getting my surgery done. So, yeah. By the way, the bill for that came in. I say the bill. I got to see what the total cost was for that surgery. $59,000. It's $59,900, almost 60 grand.
Yeah.
For that little cut. I mean, it was more than just a cut, obviously.
There was some work done in there as
well. Yeah, $59,000. Every time I see one of these big bills, I saw it with my heart attack, I saw it with my gallbladder, I see it with this one. It's like, my God.
Healthcare, dude.
I mean, my God. Jeez. I mean, obviously the insurance is covering most of that. I don't have to deal with it, but still. Ugh. Anyway, sorry.
But that was pretty much all I had, though. Just those two and some sales that I saw on for free, and sales and free stuff to pick up that I need to look into.
I haven't played a thing. I've been playing Marvel Snap on my phone, and that is about it. I really haven't played anything else. I keep thinking about jumping into that Ninja Turtles game that I got, and I never do. I never hit the install button on it. I think about jumping back into Blueprints. I played that once, and my first game of it, given the options that I had, I built myself into a loop and was like, well, this is bad, and then I quit, you know, because I mean, I built the way the rooms were given to me. I tried to make it so that I would have some open ends, but the way the cards fell, it put me in a loop, and I was just like, no, I don't want to, no. That's annoying. So I played it once, and I haven't played it again because it ended so quickly for me.
Is it a demo or a...
No, it was a real game.
Full game.
A full game, really.
Okay.
No, it's one of them fake ones. No, it was a real game. Yeah. And put me into a loop, and I was just like, no. And I've been reluctant to go back to it because of that, for whatever reason. Like, I usually, again, I like to go back to my time with Balatro. If I had just gone with my initial playing of Balatro, I'd have never gone back to it. Because I played it, and I didn't understand what I was doing, and I just was like, I can't figure out what the mechanic, I can't figure this out.
Yeah, in my case, too, I didn't know what the hands were.
Yeah,
I'm not a poker guy, so I didn't know the difference between like a flush, full house, and whatever it was.
Well, I knew the hands, but obviously the mechanic of what was going on, did not click when I was playing the demo. It took more playing of that demo to kind of get a grip of it and say, okay, yeah, this has legs.
Yeah,
and I jumped into it. So I mean, I kind of have to remember that when I play something like this, and I get. I don't want to say frustrated, but, you know, I get a little bit disenchanted by it with the first playthrough. Where it's like, well, this didn't work out. I'm not going to touch it again. That's not the point of it. That's not the point of Balatro. That's not the point of Blueprints. It is a try it again. See what the outcome is. Balatro, try it again. See if you can get further. Same thing.
Yeah, the thing is, games that require you to start over from scratch, if you don't succeed... You have to have something in there that'll keep you coming back. Something it's not annoying, but when you get everything, when you understand everything going on, you don't mind going back over and again and starting from scratch.
Yeah,
Balatro certainly fits that description.
Right? Because you can get. I mean, it's going to be a different thing, and I know it's going to be a different thing for Blueprints as well. I believe. Again, I haven't I've only done the one playthrough, so I haven't gone back. Yeah. But I believe that's how that's supposed to work, is try again.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is to work on something like that and get pretty far into it only to, you know, build yourself in a loop again or build yourself into a way that, I'm stuck. I can't get out. I got to start again.
Yeah.
Would hate to get that far and then at the last minute or whatever, which, again, Balatro does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Balatro feels like, and maybe so does Blueprints if you get that far enough. We've talked about this. There's a certain point in your playing of Balatro that you know this is not going to go anywhere. I should go ahead and start over.
Right.
I'm working with this sort of hand, so I need to... You find a path of what you need to do to increase your chances of making it to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And you find that path around 7 or 8 to round 6, mm-hmm. 7. I don't know how many rounds. I can't. It's been forever since I played it.
Round 6 or 7, you've hopefully had something built up to the point where... It's worth a lot more than it was.
So maybe it's around 5 or so that you're like, all right, this is the path I got to be on.
Yeah.
I need to level up my pairs, or I need to level up my 3 of a kind, or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. I need to level up those numbers because my jokers are working to build on this, and these are the hands that I keep seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the hands I need to work with.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. And Blueprints maybe have that. I just really haven't put my time into it.
Yeah.
It's the one game that I look at more than any other game in the library of, like, let's try that again. You know, mm-hmm. let's fire that up again. I recently rearranged my Steam layout, my library layout in Steam.
Yeah.
So that I could see more of the games that I have installed rather than just looking over to the side to see which one's highlighted that tells me I've installed. Because
mm-hmm.
Over on the side is the list, and it's sorted by date. And I'm fine with that because that's, you know, mostly you're going to go with whatever's recent that you've just installed or just whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
And that works out for a while, but as time goes on, you start to just add games to your list because I do Humble Bundle and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
The games I've installed keep getting knocked further down because I'm not installing more games. I'm just adding more games to my library, and that just pushes things down. So I went over to the shelf aspect. This is where it shows you the cover art of the games that you own or the games that you've got for demo or whatever the case may be. And so there's a line of recently played games. And that's always there. It's a very top thing. And that's fine, because usually if you've got a recently played game, you're going to come back to it. Snap, I always come back to, so it's always up there.
Mm-hmm.
When I was playing, what was another one that was a recent one that I was playing? Any of my little puzzle games or anything like that, it's always right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next shelf under that is like everything that's installed. So I can kind of scroll through that and be like, oh, hey, I installed Control, but I never went back and finished it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey, I've got Vampire Survivors installed still. Maybe I want to run that. I've stayed away from Vampire Survivors, even though I have an itch to do that type of gameplay. But I've sort of been reserving it for when that Ball X Pit game comes out, which is, I wish I had a better name. But that demo was so much fun to play that, and I beat the demo. I just eagerly await the release of the game. I will be buying that day one. As soon as it's released, and so I'm kind of saving up my. I don't want to get burned out on that stuff again.
Yeah.
Before the game comes out, because I can already tell you, I got burned out on Assassin's Creed Mirage. I haven't gone back to that at all since the last time I played it.
I might be there with until anything new comes out with First Ascended. That's why I started playing GTA Online, because there was nothing left for me to do really in First Ascended, and the summer event they had. The items they were giving away wasn't really worth, to me anyway, grinding for, really. I mean, so I just put it down and started playing something else, and it just happened to be GTA Online. I started building up my in-game currency that way. So until the new stuff comes out, I'll probably...
Yeah, I put a lot of time in Assassin's Creed Mirage, but the story was still not gripping me. I was still not being involved. I mean, I understood the gameplay mechanic of what I had to do, but the story just wasn't holding me.
I mean, you've been there before with Assassin's Creed, right?
I've been there many times with Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, so you know the mechanic already. So yeah. So.
And if we're getting a remastered Black Flag, I may want to, oddly enough, because it's a game I've already played and beat, I may want to go back and play that, especially remastered version of Black Flag.
You had fun with that one, though, right?
I loved it.
Yeah, so, yeah.
That was one of the first that I went through and did everything that I possibly could, with the exception of the... I attempted some ship battles of the major ships. There's four corners of the map, obviously. Mm-hmm. And each corner has, I say a ghost ship or whatever it's called, but it's
I want to say a boss battle.
Yes. The way I talk about it, it is a well-armed ship and whale-shielded and everything else, and you've got a... And it's a naval battle that you would have to do. And I think I attempted it once, and I was like, oof, that is a headache. It's clearly optional. Mm-hmm. And so I never went back and I never tried it again, but everything else I pretty much wrapped up on that game. Really, really liked it. Mm-hmm. Liked it. Liked going out and bringing in the whales... Mm-hmm. Catching the whales and the sharks or whatever else that you were trying to catch, and doing the diving bells to get down into the shipwrecks and grab dives. Really, really enjoyed a lot of it. So if they remaster that, I'm probably on board with it. Mm-hmm. I have not gone back into the altars. What else have I... Yeah, I mean, I have... I'm telling you now, instead of what I've played, I'm telling you what I haven't played. Because honestly, there's a lot I haven't played.
Look, me and you both, we got a backlog that we need to get into. I mean, I was looking at my shelf today and I was like looking at the things like, wow, I got like 7 titles back to back. I was like, got it, never played it, got it, didn't play it, and so on and so on. It's like something else I need to get back into. We're talking about Elden Ring a while back. I've got to get back into Elden Ring, especially with Shadows of the Erdtree and Night Rain getting as much pub as it's getting. And, of course, Lies of P.
There's that one, too. Well. But you don't have that, though, do
don't
you?
Don't have it yet. Okay. But I will, eventually.
You're looking for it on PS5, right?
PS4 or 5 or wherever I can get it.
Okay.
I mean, as long as I can play it.
You should be seeing a sale on that one coming up, especially Black Friday rolling around. You should be seeing a sale on that. So, again, we're moving into that month. August is coming up, and that's when I kind of slow down on my new game buying. Mm-hmm. Depending. Like, if... That Ball X Pit game that I'm talking about gets released.
Yeah,
I don't care. I'm not waiting for a sale on that. I'm buying it. But Lies of P should be seeing a discount. Especially your consoles. Mm-hmm. You should be seeing a discount for that. Yeah. That and the DLC, I suppose, would be seeing a discount. I'm trying to think of anything else that might be a discount that you might be interested in. Erdtree.
Yeah.
You might see a discount on Erdtree. I don't know. So,
I know I saw bundles earlier for that, but not. I haven't checked it lately, but I know there was a bundle earlier in the year for that, but yeah, I didn't pick it up then.
But yeah, that's it. I really haven't played anything. Marvel Snap's about it, and that's something I do on my phone, or it's something I do on my PC. That is pretty much it. I still open up my Amazon Prime games and grab whatever's free for me. I still, you know, open up Epic Game Store and grab whatever's free when it's there. I'm not abandoning the computer. I'm not like not doing anything with it. I'm just not gaming a lot. For Snap, it's a quick open it up, play a round or two, close it out. I don't have to get that involved, you know?
Yeah.
Like when you start a new game and like how long am I going to sit here and play this?
Yeah, it's like you're not playing the game that you know is a time sink. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, essentially, yeah. A game that I know is going to... I would love a game... It'll come back around for me.
Yeah.
A lot of it has to do with this condition that is still this condition that is still afflicting me. And so I really haven't tried mouse and keyboard stuff, and I really haven't tried controller stuff since the surgery. I should try that. But anyway, we're here at the bottom of the hour. We need to run and go to our first break. Got music. There's no rhyme or reason for what I picked here. I was mainly looking for 360 PS3 game soundtracks. I didn't really land on those. I might have. I don't actually remember some of them. I'm looking here at Wind Waker, which was GameCube, which would have been 360 PS3. No, that would have been original Xbox. PS2 would have been GameCube, I think. Because Wii, I think, was 360 PS3, wasn't it?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Maybe late in the thing there. Anyway, this is Wind Waker. Again, going back to Assassin's Creed Black Flag, right? Mm-hmm. Ships on the ocean, you know, sailing, that sort of thing. Loved it. Wind Waker, my favorite aspect about that game was being on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sailing and just being out there was a lot of fun. So anyway, this is the music that would play when you're out there sailing. It's called Ocean. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And to In-Game Chat, this is music from Super Mario Brothers Galaxy 2. It's called Magma Monster. Anyway, probably a boss fight of some kind. I don't know. I didn't play a lot of Mario. I haven't played a lot of Mario games since... What was the one on GameCube? Sunshine. Mario Sunshine was the one that sort of threw me off of Mario games completely. It never really grabbed me as to how it played or what to do, even though it was following a formula that had set way back when during Mario 64, which is a game I never played. I never owned it in 64.
Right.
So I went from Super NES to GameCube. Skipped anything that was in between that. Never played anything like that. So Super NES had, what, Mario World, Super Mario World? That played exactly like any other Mario that had come previous.
Mm-hmm.
Little platformer. Not a lot of variation in what to do. Then I plug in Sunshine, and it's like, I collected a star, and it sent me back to the menu, but I need to get four stars in order to open up a different area. Well, how do I get those four stars? It wasn't explained to me in any sort of way, or maybe it was and I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a very hard concept for me to grasp that, oh, I have to go back into the level and run it again and get another star, which will then kick me out of the level so for me to go back into it and grab another star. I talked about this last week. I hate that. Like, give me the star and then leave me in the level. Or give me the option to start the level from the beginning, not kicking me back out to the map. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just let me start the level from the beginning again. and so that I can go back through something to kind of just keep that momentum flow going, rather than what they were doing. And so I was grabbing the, they called them shines. I was grabbing because they could be anywhere, and they were in like the overworld map, which is the city of Delfino or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And you would unlock different parts of that the more stars that you had, I believe. Yeah, it's probably worth me going back to, and I think I can because I do have. I wonder if I have it unopened or if it's opened. Nintendo Switch, early on in the Switch career, or Switch's lifespan, they released a Mario Brothers All-Stars cart that had Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and Mario Galaxy, I believe, all on one cart. And they had said, Nintendo, being they, said that this was a limited release. We are going to release these, but we are not going to make any more of these. But they were all over the place. And, I mean, I put in my pre-order because it was one of those situations where I was like, ooh, limited. I better get my, I better make sure I have a copy of that, which I did. But, like, years later, you could still buy it. However, that was years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
So the years since, apparently, the value of that has gone up. Of that cart.
Yep.
I don't know if the value of that is anything worth it once you've opened it, or if it's still sealed and that's where the value is. I don't know. Like, don't know, that's where the what they want.
Some games it didn't apply to, like
Games it did not matter if you had opened the box or not.
Radiant Silver Gun comes to mind.
Yeah, like it was so rare that it didn't matter if you'd opened it. Yeah, it didn't matter if you opened it up or not. So, and I mean, I've got a copy of it. Which I would probably work in the Switch 2 as well. So,
I think I've dabbled in a lot of the NES, Super NES versions of Mario.
Mm-hmm.
But the one I keep going back to, the original Mario Brothers in the arcade.
Nah, man, I haven't touched that in forever.
Yeah, I mean, every now and then I just slip back and go into that one. Until I get to Slip Ice, and then everything gets complicated at that point.
Yeah, I really wanted to play like Mario Wonder, but I never got around to that either.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those... you know, it's Nintendo, so they'll never put it on any kind of a significant discount. But maybe. I don't know.
Mm.
I just haven't touched it. So, I mean, platformers are great, man, but I feel like I have... I feel like anything that is released prior to Astrobot is not going to satisfy me the way Astrobot did.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like anything released since Astrobot has the chance to, because they can build upon... Not necessarily that mechanic, but they can make a mechanic that is something new or something different. Bonanza comes to mind, the Donkey Kong Bonanza comes to mind. There's a couple of them on PC. Penny's Breakaway, I think is what it's called. The same folks that did Sonic Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Penny's Big Breakaway, I think is the name of that one, which seems like a pretty good platformer. There's a couple of others that are it's just... skipping out of my brain at the moment. But I've sort of been kind of curious about those. Still have Spider-Man 2 that I haven't tried to play at all on my PS5. Haven't tried to play that at all. So, I don't know. There's a lot of avenues to go to if I want to get back into some gaming that isn't just let me play for 10 minutes and then let me stop. You know?
Yeah.
So... let's look at the news, if we can. A little bit of the news, anyway. Some of these quickies will do. The Nintendo Switch 2 is the fastest-selling gaming hardware in U.S. history. Debuted in June to become the fastest-selling hardware ever in the U.S. Shooting spending on games to new monthly records, according to a monthly report here. Spending on hardware was up a whopping 249% year over year, thanks to the console's debut, reaching $978 million, and greatly surpassing the previously monthly record from June of 2008 of $608 million. In total, the Switch 2 sold 1.6 million units in the U.S. during its launch month, beating the PlayStation 4's previous sales record of 1.1 million units in November of 2013. Unshockingly, it was the best-selling console of the month, both in terms of units and dollar sales. Well, of course it is. It was a brand-new console. That's what it's going to do. So, yeah. Across all platforms, Night Rain from Elden Ring was the best-selling game of the month for the second month in a row, followed by debut titles Death Stranding 2 on the Beach and Mario Kart World. They also didn't include physical hardware bundles, meaning Mario Kart World will likely have performed significantly better than it's indicated here in these charts because it was included in a lot of the purchases that were made of the Switch 2. 82% of Nintendo Switch 2 buyers in June purchased Mario Kart World either via standalone sale or as part of a bundle. So, yeah, June 2025 top 20 best-selling games. Elden Ring, Night Rain, Death Stranding 2, Mario Kart World. Beyond that, you had Black Ops 6, Stellar Blade at number 5, Forza Horizon 5 at number 6, thanks to the PS5 release that it got. MLB The Show made number 7. Minecraft made number 8. I don't know where Minecraft sits monthly on these best-selling game things. It's, maybe it's always in the top 10, but I would have to think that the movie release probably did something for that. Grand Theft Auto 5 at number 9, and Rune Factory, Guardians of Azuma at number 10. Red Dead Redemption 2 at number 15. Wow. Cyberpunk 2077 at number 18. Star Wars Battlefront 2. A game from 2017 was at number 17 on the best-selling games of June of this year. That's interesting. Does the article go on to talk about that? Of course it doesn't. But I don't understand why. That's...
What? Why do old titles get like a sudden surge of...
Yeah, what happened there?
Like you said, for Minecraft. Minecraft's been around for a while, but it got in the top sellers list. You said that movie had something to do with it. Has anything happened with Star Wars to make it...
No.
Nothing at all? Nothing news? No movies? No
not that
books
I know
or
of.
Comics or anything that did that? Or some random tweet or something on social media that got everybody's attention on Star Wars or something?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, so maybe something like that.
Because this was for June. Anything that would have happened recently wouldn't account for the June increase. So I don't know why.
Maybe there was a heck of a discount somewhere that we didn't know about.
I don't know.
Yeah, so. I mean, it can happen.
That's interesting. Did I have anything in the news about that? Because... I guess not. Because I would really like to look at the reason why. Maybe it got added to something. Maybe it got added to like a Game Pass or got added to a... I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. But I'm thinking usually it's something that, outside of the gaming part, that gets everybody's interest in it for something.
Yeah. Any of y'all in the chat room know why Battlefront 2 got a bump? I'm curious as to why that is. By the way, Battlefront 2 from 2017, those environments are still just amazing to see. That was the real cool thing about Battlefront and Battlefront 2. Because you're going back to 2015, 2017. The environments were just amazing for that time. Like, there were some photorealistic-looking things in there. The rocks, the ground, that sort of stuff. Yeah, the trees that they used in Battlefront 2 for the I say the Ewok level, but I'm trying to think of the... trying to think of that planet for some reason. The forest planet. Endor.
Endor, okay.
Matt is not here to save me and pull me out of these Star Wars holes that I fall into. So I have to go on nerd cred alone, and I just don't have that with Star Wars like he does. But I know Ewok Planet is, I hope, Endor. I think it is. So, yeah, I'm curious as to why that got a bump like it did. And if anybody chimes in the chat room, I'll keep checking.
Oh, here's something else. Someone could have streamed it.
Well... AC Wraith says that Andor, the television show on Disney Plus, the second season ended in May, which means that had been going through. I don't necessarily know if that picked up and people started playing it because of that. But you were asking, like, was Star Wars in the news? And I guess Andor would have been it. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if that's the reason why. So, Yeah. What have we got here? 10 minutes. Yeah, this is something that happened last week. We were talking about Microsoft, and they removed the ability to purchase movies and TVs, TV shows, movies and TV shows on Xbox and the Microsoft Store. The change came about abruptly earlier this week. This is a story from July 20th. Earlier this week, a FAQ update on both the Xbox and Windows pages confirming that as of the 18th of July, Microsoft has stopped selling new movie and TV content. Existing customers can continue to access their previously purchased content on Windows and Xbox devices. Players can continue to play personal videos on Xbox devices. Windows customers continue to have access to playback and the download functionality. But they have stopped where you can buy new stuff. As PC Gamer points out, this isn't unique to Microsoft. In fact, both Apple and Google have effectively done the same thing, only earlier, and it appears the Megacorp is committed to permitting existing customers access their paid-for content for the time being. As per Microsoft's terms of sale, there's no way to get a refund, nor can you switch your purchased content to another service. For anyone who uses the service regularly, Microsoft suggests you use other entertainment services that offer the latest home entertainment releases, like Amazon Prime Video, Apple TV, Fandango at Home, among others. This comes after the 9,000 people they laid off at Microsoft, and they stopped the selling of that. Strange. Man, that was such a huge push, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back when Xbox One released, it was all like, hey, not only is it a gaming machine, but it's also a TV machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can watch TV, or you can play your game, or you can, you know, stop your game and go back to watch TV if you want to do that.
Yeah, multifaceted entertainment box. That's what they...
They really wanted it to do all that stuff.
That was their sales pitch.
Which is why they were selling the movies and the TV shows, because it's like, hey, you can do this on your Xbox, too.
Mm-hmm.
Then they stopped. That messaging is gone. That ability is no longer.
Yeah.
So I don't get why that is, or what the reasoning behind that is. I don't know if there was a cost to have that up there, or I don't know what it is.
It's probably some numbers thing, like you were saying.
I guess so.
Investment and profit, that's the first thing to look at.
Yeah. I see that you've got that highlighted about the Atari 50 or whatever that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was looking at it earlier, yeah.
Yeah, Atari 50 is welcoming another classic contemporary through its interactive museum doors. Namco's legendary lineup of retro titles are arriving in new DLC soon for Atari 50. Atari 50's Namco Legendary Pack introduces an all-new interactive timeline focusing on the Japanese publisher's classic output, exploring the history of its games on Atari hardware through video interviews, archival materials, documents, and photos from the era. And Pac-Man is a huge part of that. Atari 50's Namco Legendary Pack includes three versions of Pac-Man. You've got the Pac-Man 2600, the Pac-Man 5200, and the Atari 8-bit, which specifically marks the first ever re-release of those games for consoles. If I remember right, they were horrible ports.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. Just horrible enough that you really want to have them for your collection today.
You want to show people what the struggle was back then with ports. I remember the aspects of the 2600 Pac-Man. Okay, first of all, Pac-Man could not turn vertically. It was always horizontal. Going up or down the maze was always horizontal.
Oh, yeah, his mouth was always
pointing left or right.
Even if he went
up or down, yeah.
It was either left or right. They couldn't do dots either.
They couldn't do dots. It was a bunch of lines and rectangles. Some dots had to be eaten twice. Because going from one side, you ate one half of it, and then if you had to dodge a ghost, you went back around, and then you had to eat the other half coming from the back end. I'm trying to remember, was the escape tunnels? There was something about the escape tunnels. I'm trying to remember. Either you got stuck or glitched out or something, but it was something about the escape tunnels. I'm trying to remember, or it was some other port that I don't know. But yeah, I definitely remember not being able to turn up and down. And the two-sided dots in air quotes, because it was eating a bunch of rectangles there.
There's no word on a release date for all of this yet, but it's coming to Steam, Xbox, PlayStation, and Switch soon. And if you've yet to sample Atari 50's Retro Delights, last year saw the release of a standalone expanded edition combining the already hugely generous base game and its wider world of Atari DLC into a single bundle featuring 150-plus titles. Wow. Mm-hmm. Also, and I don't have the press release for this here, but they are releasing an Atari console in Pac-Man yellow.
Yep.
With a wireless Pac-Man yellow stick controller.
Yeah, Atari controller.
Yeah, an old Atari controller with a stick and a button.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also ghost versions of those controllers being released. Mm-hmm. So you'll get one that's red, blue, pink, and
orange.
Yeah. There is the cartridge that comes with it that has Pac-Man on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's some other little things that they were doing as well.
Yep.
So, I'm a big fan of Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the game itself. The game I played dozens of times. But I'm fascinated by, you know, new iterations of the game, whether it be the platforming Pac-Man. What was the one that just released? Shadow Labyrinth?
Hmm.
It was based on that Amazon Prime show of Pac-Man that they did.
Mm.
All right, somebody's car is going off in the parking lot. I don't know if that's mine or yours.
Hmm.
I don't know if that's one of the station vehicles.
No idea.
Should probably get up and check that. Mm. Let's go to a break here, and we will play music here from Dead Cells, that roguelike thing. It's called The Castle.
Another one of the titles that was in my bought it, didn't play it.
All right, stop, but I need to go look at that and make sure. Anyway, we'll be back with more of In Game Chat right after this. Back into in-game chat. That's music from Donkey Kong Country back on the Super NES. Gangplank Galleon is the name of that track. I loved every single track on that soundtrack. I remember Nintendo had a promotion, I think inside of a Nintendo Power, maybe, where you could send off and get a copy of the soundtrack, which I did for that. Listen to it up and down, you know. It was a CD, and it was, yeah, loved every single bit of that soundtrack. And I've used music from that game before in our show. So anyway, welcome back. You good?
Hope so.
Okay. RJ may be up and down. We're going to see. Maybe back and forth to figure out what's going on. I don't hear any thunder, but I wonder if thunder or something is setting that off, maybe? Or
I have no idea. If thunder's setting it off, that thing's too sensitive. But it's been in storms before. I don't know what
it
what
hasn't been setting it off.
No, it hasn't done that.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, welcome back to the show. As we were looking over news and stuff and figuring out what we're going to be talking about next, we... I don't know. Where should I go? What should be the story on this one? I don't know. I'm looking through to see what we've got. You know, these are all just kind of like little bitty sort of quickie little stories, you know? And I'm just looking through here to see what we've got. And we talked about the Microsoft thing. Ubisoft is all over this thing.
Not good, though.
No, it's not. Not coming from Ubisoft. There's that whole Stop Killing Games petition that's going on. Where basically what that means is when you release a game, you know, that requires servers, keep them going. Stop cutting them off. Because I think, what did they get rid of recently? Ubisoft, I think, closed down the Crew.
Yeah.
Or maybe the Crew 2, I'm not sure.
Yeah, one of the racing games, yeah. They just cut it off. There was no...
I think it was Thunder again, sorry.
I think it was like, the plan was like, there was no plans for what to do. No single
player.
There was no single player plans for the thing.
Yeah.
It was just strictly online and that's it.
And it's mostly that, where it's like, stop turning off the servers for these games.
Yeah.
You know, support them as much as you can, but you have to kill the servers.
If they don't have a single player aspect to it, then yeah.
Yeah. Which I believe that's what that. I obviously haven't followed the news on that at all. And as you can tell, probably on a lot of other things as well. I'm going to pick up this story from, it says Video Game Chronicles, but I think they're repeating a story from somewhere else. Yeah. The guy who, the director of Shadow of the Colossus and Last Guardian, believes that the age of new game mechanics is over. Quoting him, he says, "I don't remember exactly why I replied with a like at the time, but I was probably thinking the era of game mechanics is over. I wonder if we are no longer in the era where we need to provide new devices or new game mechanics every single game." He has been saying this some time, apparently ever since January, or ever since Journey. He's been saying that. "Even if the mechanics are not new, you can focus on the feel and the art, whether you like it or not. It's better to sharpen the existing mechanics that are known." I hate that he is saying that, because I really like the games that they work on. You know, Ico, Shadow of the Colossus,
yeah.
Last Guardian, and I think they're working on something else, but yeah. I'm not sure if they are working on something else or not. I think they are, but we don't know.
I think the article says that he is, but it's relatively new right now, so.
Hey, remember when we were going to have $80 games from Microsoft? They backed off on that. They are now... Outer Worlds 2 was originally going to have an $80 price tag, but now it is dropped down to $70. When asked how it could justify an $80 price tag for the upcoming RPG Outer Worlds 2, developer Obsidian had a sympathetic response. Ask Microsoft. And everybody seemed to have asked Microsoft. We have received your whatever. They try to frame it in a way that's like in-game world type stuff, but basically, we've received your questions. As an organization devoted to making sure that corporations do not go unfettered, we at the Earth Directorate have worked with Redacted to revise the price of the Outer Worlds 2 down to $70. They jumped from 60 to 70, and then Nintendo got the ball rolling on the $80 standard. They haven't backed off from that, by the way. Mm-hmm. Nintendo hasn't. It looks like Microsoft's eagerness to follow suit has subsided, as the company told Windows Central that it will keep fully priced holiday releases at $70, which it says is in line with current market conditions. This year's other Obsidian RPG, Avowed, released at $70 and is also available on Game Pass, as new Microsoft games are by default these days. Less than 6 months after launch, Avowed was discounted to $46.89 during the Steam summer sale. Meanwhile, though, we've seen some publishers pushing prices in the other direction. Clair Obscur launched at $50. Dune Awakening launched at $50. There is a market for that, and you can make a profit by selling your game at a lower cost. It doesn't always have to be that much. If you don't have, well, that's the thing. If you don't have hope in the game, why make it? If you're going to put an $80 price tag, $70 price tag on a game that you're thinking it's not, it may not sell well, so we need as much money from it as we can get if it does sell at all. But if it's not going to sell well, it won't do it at 70. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if you drop that price, you're going to get the people that would buy it anyway.
Yeah.
But you're also going to get people who would say, you know what? That's a $30 risk I'm willing to take.
Mm-hmm.
That would never be me.
Yeah.
But it's one of those situations where it's like you might have a few more bites at a lower price than you would at that initial price. Like, if you think this game's going to sell amazingly well, then keep it at your $70 price if you want to. Mm-hmm. It might sell even better if it's at a lower price.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at Clair Obscur, $50, man, that thing is
done. And that blows their justification out the water.
I know.
We can't do that, Clair Obscur.
Plus, the team on Clair Obscur was
small.
Fractionally small compared to the other stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the $80 thing that Nintendo was pushing, and then that was a back off and wait and see moment to see how the folks react to it before you start jumping in the same boat and putting $80 on your titles as well.
Which they never did. But I don't know. Did pre-orders? You know, they're framing it in an in-game sense of being like, yeah, we can be funny about this. I'm absolutely curious as to what caused the change.
Mm-hmm.
Was it looking at pre-orders ahead of time, saying like it ain't working? Or was it a situation where it's like, you know what, we thought the economy was going to be different at this point. It's not, so let's back off.
Yeah.
Like, I would love fly-on-the-wall stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not going to tell us that I know of. But I would love to find out.
Yeah.
I would love to know what changed the mind in that regard. And why hasn't it changed the mind of Nintendo?
No, because Nintendo.
I know.
Yeah.
Which is the answer for anything when it's concerning Nintendo. It's like, well, it's Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a legitimate reason.
They're kind of stick. Like, they're
that's the thing. If they're nothing but consistent.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They have always been consistent themselves in their first-party deals. It is always this price. It'll never go lower. And if it does, it'll only be about $5 for a week. And then it's back to regular pricing.
Back to normal price, yep.
We've talked about this before, but the best example of this was Heavenly Sword for the PS3, which even in the later life of the PS3 and the early life of the PS4, that game was still, like, maybe it was like $7 cheaper, but it never hit a big, deep discount.
Mm-mm.
I don't even know if it, I don't even think it got a greatest hits release where it was like one of those $20 games.
Yeah. I don't think I'd recall ever seeing that, but
I don't either. But it was one of those that just stayed at that price.
Ugh,
it's a good game, too.
Yeah. Well, the discount you see on that thing now is probably going to be on eBay somewhere for used discount price.
Yeah. We're just jumping around on news here because of, nothing really being one of those long type of conversations that we normally have. I want to direct your attention, though, to, and I don't know if it's still there. Let me see. I can click the Amazon button to see if it's still available. Yeah. The Lego Game Boy. It is a one-to-one scale of an actual Game Boy that you can build with Lego. It's due to release in October. And for Lego, it's actually decently priced at $60. That's a decent look. Lego has increased their pricing across. They did that a couple of years back. And everybody knew that, hey, the prices are about to go up for Lego. This was not tariff-related at all. This was years ago that they said, yeah, we're going to increase our pricing here. And everybody braced for it, and it came, and it was like, this sucks. It slowed my Lego purchasing down a lot. But this, at $60, is a pretty good price. It is still available on Amazon. As far as I know, if you try to do it from the Lego store, it was sold out. And I don't know if they've got a link to the Lego store here, what I'm looking at. Pre-order at Lego store. Let's see.
421 pieces, huh?
Yeah, it does not look like I can add it to my cart. Yeah, I can't add it to the cart here on the Lego website. So that is not available. But Amazon, it's still there. It says I can pre-order at Walmart. Let me see if you can do it at Walmart. Yeah, you can still pre-order. You can pre-order it at Walmart as well if you want to do that. But yeah, it's an actual one-to-one scale Game Boy in Lego form. I know. Lethal Migrants, it's Lego and it's not $400? That's a miracle. You're exactly right. You hate Lego, Bama Brian? Oh. I love Lego. Bama Brian says, the only ones I don't think are ugly are the Orchid and the Bonsai. I have the Orchid, I have the Bonsai. I also have the Piranha Plant Lego. I have the International Space Station Lego. Wonderful build. The Saturn... is it the Saturn V rocket? The NASA rocket?
I've heard of that, yeah.
Took Apollo to the moon and everything. Mm-hmm. Have that build. Wonderful build. I have the Starry Night painting, Van Gogh.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful build. And I have a couple that I haven't put together yet. Pac-Man is one of those.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, having this condition with my hands, what did I put together? It may have been the Piranha Plant, or it may have been something else. It was a small build.
Yeah.
And I worked with it with what I was going through, and I hated every minute of it because of the way it felt in my hands. Because those tiny little pieces that you have to do, and my hands, it's just, my nerve damage.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping this gets better because I would like to get back to building my Legos, especially with, the Lego Game Boy coming out. Yeah. So. He says the Star Wars ships and stuff are just so ugly compared to the stuff I can print. Well, I would agree with you in that. I'm not big into the Star Wars stuff. I am not big into what they offer on Star Wars. They have never really been big into that. I'm more into some of the comic book stuff, if it's depending on what it is. Was into the plants. I've got the Back to the Future DeLorean that I have yet to put together. I've got the Batmobile that I've yet to put together. So... I've got the treehouse that I've yet to put together.
Mm.
The big treehouse that I haven't put together yet.
Is that the Andrew Lloyd Wright?
No.
Oh, okay.
They do have that available. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't have that. There is the Pac-Man build that I haven't put together yet. There's a couple of Disney builds that I haven't put together yet. Mm. There's a lot that I do have that I love and that I just haven't put together yet. So, The one I'm kind of eyeballing now is the Endurance, which is the Shackleton ship that was going to the North Pole or the Antarctic or one of those. They have a Lego version of that ship that I would really, really, really love to get and put together. Ships of any kind, especially the sailing age ships. I mean, even if it's the Black Pearl thing from whatever, if it's detailed, if it's well detailed and done, I'm into it. Mm-hmm. If it's, you know, stuff with the minifigures of the things where you can play with them on the ship and stuff, not so big on that. Mm. Looking for something a little bit more of a display piece, not a play piece. You know what I mean?
Yeah, one is a toy, one is a sculpture.
In a sense, yes. Yeah. One is a display piece, and one is a play piece. Mm-hmm. Like, here's the one that you just play with and have fun with. Here's the one you sit up on your shelf, and it's a decoration.
Yeah.
It's a display.
Showpiece, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I know, the models that you can, I mean, you've got a 3D printer, you can pretty much make whatever you want as a display piece that you would like to, but it's so much fun to build these things. Or at least it was before this condition going on with me. Which, again, I really hope it lets up at some point. So, what do we got? Okay. When my watch goes off, I check it because you never know when it's, hey, this item is free on the whatever store at the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, always have to check. Hey, Battlefield 6, we got a gameplay. You know what? They called it a gameplay trailer. I called it BS because I didn't look. There might have been some gameplay in that trailer. But everything I saw looked like cutscenes, looked like just didn't look like gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be mistaken. It's been a while since I played anything Battlefield. It's been a while since I've seen that genre or seen that sort of whatever. It's just been a minute.
Yeah, but you've seen enough trailers of other games
to know that
years.
That didn't look like gameplay. So yeah, they had some new details. We're looking at maybe an October release date at some point. October 10th release date is accurate. This is a rumor. The game will launch for PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series X and S in both Standard and Phantom Edition forms, costing, and now this is not American money here, so I'm not exactly sure if that's going to be the same here, $79.99 and $109.99 respectively on consoles, and $10 less on PC. We don't know what the Phantom Edition is. It's supposedly a digital-only special edition featuring unspecified in-game content. $30, you can upgrade your regular edition to the Phantom Edition if you want to. There will be no early access with any version, apparently. The Battlefield 6 pre-orders were reportedly open on this coming Thursday, July 31st. Playtest leaks kind of give us an idea of what we should expect. A modern-day setting, classes and more. Yes, it is a modern-day setting. I can tell you that from the trailer that we saw earlier this week. It's going to have to be a pretty special... If the publisher has any hope of reaching its reported 100 million player target across Battlefield 6 main game and a separate free-to-play Battle Royale. They say that's a particularly lofty goal after the disastrous Battlefield 2042. Yeah, I watched that trailer. It looked like Battlefield, but it didn't look like gameplay of Battlefield. Like I said, there might have been some, but... But yeah. What is this one? VG247. EA has delivered something today with the Battlefield 6 reveal trailer, which brought us a first look at the game's campaign. The trailer premiered on YouTube moments ago, just days after the game's official title was announced. The reveal trailer brought our first proper look at the game's overall aesthetic, confirmed its setting, and offered a brief introduction to its main fighting factions. Sadly, however, it did not have the sort of news that would get Battlefield fans excited. For one, the trailer did not come with a release date. It focused entirely on the game's single-player campaign, which spans several parts of the globe, including the United States. We're introduced to the enemy faction of the game as well. The actual multiplayer reveal won't happen until this coming Thursday. This is a whole event, as rumors suggested, that's going to be led by developers from the various Battlefield Studios teams, walking us through multiplayer for the first time. EA said to expect a look at the core features, maps, as well as the game's main modes, so perhaps that's where we're going to hear about the rumored Battle Royale mode, too. And, very much in the style of Call of Duty's own reveal event, streamers will be going live with their own live gameplay from across the world. That happens this Thursday. I do not know what time this Thursday, but it'll happen this Thursday. There is going to be an open beta, but due to the focus of today's trailer, we didn't get any details about that either. The beta will, of course, be most players' first opportunity to go hands-on with the game prior to its launch. Another reason the beta will be critical in helping the teams deliver a better game at its release is that it's going to offer a potential solution to the issue of whether or not weapons should be locked to classes, as is Battlefield tradition. DICE recently confirmed that it's moving forward with its initial plan to allow all classes to use the game's entire arsenal. Apparently, longtime Battlefield fans are against this. The game will incentivize players to stick to their class signature weapon, but many feel that it won't be enough. In other words, you will have a specific weapon for your class that will be a benefit for you to use if you are using that class that uses that, but all weapons will be available to everybody. I like that idea. I don't know. That seems good. I'm not a Battlefield player, though. So, like, if you can...
It might be a strategy-changing type thing. Like, there's a certain way you approach a certain enemy based on their class and their type. Now that if everybody can use this thing, I'm probably going to hit some broken...
Possibly
some broken characters in there. Like if you got a heavyweight character that uses a speed weapon, and the speed weapon guy's usually fragile.
Yeah.
But now that he's a tank using this speed weapon, then it's going to be a problem. That type of thing.
Or it lessens the speciality of that weapon for that class.
Yeah.
Like you get to use it, and you have benefits with using it, but they get to use it as well, regardless of who they are. And as long as they're better at you using it than you are,
yeah, I can see that. Or you can get a whole field of the broken character,
possibly
type thing, and an entire field of the same type in a game of variety like that, that'll kill the enjoyment real quick.
Yeah, curious to see what the reception is because it's been a while since we've had a Battlefield. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We've had Call of Duty year after year after year. It's been a minute since we've had a Battlefield, and I'm curious if the allure is still there, if the audience is still there, if the desire of playing another Battlefield game is still there. I would imagine it is. Call of Duty keeps churning that stuff out year after year. I don't see why Battlefield can't take a little bit of that, you know, the piece of that pie as well. It seems doable, but I don't know. Markets change. The way players taste change over time. And I'm curious if that audience is still there for these. I don't know how well Call of Duty the last one did. I don't know that it did too great, but it's almost always in our. I mean, we talked about it.
Yeah.
Black Ops 6 or whatever it was in the June best-selling game. So I mean, there's an audience there, but has that audience shrunk enough that it really only serves one game, or can it serve multiple? There was a time where all you needed to do was make a multiplayer military shooter. And you were in. Your Battlefield, your Call of Duty, your... And those are the only two I can think of, but there's more than that. And I'm trying to remember them, but a lot of them were on PC. And it was a win for you.
Yeah. And Counter-Strike still played?
Counter-Strike is still played, yeah.
Yeah.
So your militaristic first-person shooters still pull their weight.
Yeah.
And still pull their audience with them. But with the exception of Counter-Strike, because that's just been around forever.
Yeah.
Call of Duty keeps, like, releasing year after year. Battlefield does not. And I'm curious if their audience is still there. I have a feeling it is. I have a feeling that the hype for this will be there when people see it again. I just don't know how long it lasts.
Yeah.
Does it have staying power? I don't know.
So. Something to break up the norm of Call of Duty, I guess.
Something
like that. Something
well,
new.
It's odd. Let me break up the norm of Call of Duty, this military shooter, with another military shooter.
Or something that does the same thing, but maybe a little better, or something different, or something like that. But if they're, like, we talked about the changing of the everybody can access to every weapon available, that, my initial guess is that it's going to hurt.
Yep.
Because if the established fan base has a way they like playing that game,
yeah,
and you've changed it. I wonder if that's something in Call of Duty. Anybody in Call of Duty can use any weapon in that game. I haven't played it, so I don't know.
I believe so. It's been a while since I played Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Like, I was only restricted from weapons by my level.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Once I leveled up, then I had access to these weapons. And as you leveled up, you had access to these weapons or these mods or whatever these other things are. It just, as you gained level, you had access to these weapons. I think. I can't remember if it was weapons or I think it was both. You had access to perks, different perks you could achieve depending on your level. I don't necessarily think that you had access to every single weapon right from the beginning, though. I think you had to work your way up in the ranks just to get there, to use those types of weapons, depending on what they were. Because I do remember, it was like, yay, I got this gun. Now I need to play more with this gun so that I can put the red dot sight on it. You know? Then it's like, oh, yay, now I play more of this so I can put the extended mag on it. Or whatever the case may be, whatever I wanted to attach to the weapon.
Right.
And I can't remember if you had to use the weapon in order to unlock that aspect, or if you just had to keep leveling up in order to unlock it. I can't remember. It's been a minute since I've done any of those, because they just did... They did not hold their attention with me. After Modern Warfare, way back on the 360. The very first Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. Or was that 3?
There's so many at this point.
At this point, yes, there are. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of the show here. We've got music here from Vampire Survivors. I don't know if I've ever used Vampire Survivors music. This one's called Copper Green Intent. I have no idea what that means. That's just the name of the track. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat after this. back to in-game chat. This is music from Darksiders 2. The Maker's Theme is the name of this one. It's another game I never played. And it's in my backlog. RJ talked about off the air of us just doing a show about our backlogs. And I was like, well, it'd just be, here's the games we didn't play this week. And here's and when we come back, we could spend 2 hours. I could go over a list of games I haven't played that are that I own that I have not touched. And I could fill the first hour. You could fill the second. And then when we come back next week, we could both fill 2 hours completely of more games that I have not touched that I own. The backlog is deep. It is large. And it is full of cobwebs at the moment. And that I don't plan to really clean off anytime soon.
They're collectibles at this point. Well, they're, unless we just get up and
not
just
even that.
Play.
They're all digital. You're talking about my Steam backlog.
Nope. I got a physical backlog.
You do, yes.
Yeah, I have a physical backlog, yeah.
That's why when I get you anything, it's always physical copies, because then you don't give me that digital crap.
So. Only if I have to. And there's been titles where, yeah, if I want to play this game, I got to do it digital. Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the reasoning behind that for you?
I guess for me, it's a mental thing, having access to that thing, having access to it, having it on disc, a physical copy of the thing. Mm-hmm. But then you told me about how it's just a access to the internet. Now they're making physical discs to just do that. There's nothing on the disc. It's just internet.
For the most things, part. Yeah. I do remember a time when what we bought came on what we bought. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it still does. Well, yeah. I used to say it still does with carts, but that's not the case anymore.
Yeah.
I know some of those carts from Nintendo, they have a cart. You put it in there, but it connects to the store online and lets you download the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't all come on that cart, I believe. And that's me kind of putting some things together that I think I've heard or read or saw something about.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that it is the case with every single title,
yeah.
But I think it is the case with some titles,
yeah.
Where you only get like half the game, and then you got to download the rest, or at least it downloads the rest automatically because it's, you know, sending that signal back home for you to do so.
So the thing is just figuring out what is actually on the disc that you buy nowadays.
For me, I'm good with either. I used to be a physical collector of my movies. But I was doing that with, like, steelbooks. And honestly, the pandemic, and I've talked about this, the pandemic kind of threw me off on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because movies started getting released at home.
And quick.
Yeah, very quickly.
Yeah.
And the odd thing that I figured out was that once I was able to watch the movie at home, I didn't really get concerned with buying the steelbook.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They also stopped making steelbooks for a little bit there because things were getting home releases. They weren't getting released into stores because stores were not doing stuff like that. They've kind of resurfaced a little bit, but not in any way that's kind of brought me back to it.
Yeah.
Like, I was tempted recently. This goes back to my love of ships. I was tempted recently with a 4K steelbook release of Master and Commander, Far Side of the World.
Mm-hmm.
Great film.
Yeah.
I own the books, but I haven't read them. That's another backlog we could go into. It's the reading material. But really, really good film. And the just, again, it was the sailing age, you know what I mean? It's just beautiful to see those ships. Anyway, I was tempted with that, but still didn't bite the bullet. I own the film digitally from the last time it had a release or whenever I bought it, when it was on Blu-ray or something like that. Yeah. I'm hoping that my copy on the Apple Store will get a 4K upgrade whenever that finally gets released.
Yeah.
They do that from time to time on films. You own a copy of it, they'll give you the 4K upgrade at no charge.
Yeah.
For some films. Doesn't work for everything.
No
for
problem.
Some, they will. So, but yeah, I kind of got out of that. And then my digital library just grew and grew and grew. both in gaming, in home media. You've bought some physical things that I've asked you to bring me the codes for, so yeah. I can put the digital copy up on my in my library.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm way more interested in that than I am with some of the physical releases. There are some things that I looked at recently to get some of the limited run games that are physical copies of some of these older games. I looked into that to do some of that. And I never went through it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm just. It's not that I'm avoiding buying physical. I absolutely would. If that was either the only way I could do it, or there was an easier way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I realize I can buy a physical copy of a game on Amazon and have it shipped, but I can also get the digital version of that game and not have to wait for it to get shipped. I can have it instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the fact that I look at PC titles before I look at the console versions. And there are no physical copies of PC titles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's always going to be digital in that regard.
Yeah.
But when you've got a multi-platform release, Cyberpunk is a good one to look at. I really wanted to play that on PC, first person. That's where the controls are, mouse and keyboard, first person type game. It looks beautiful on PC. There's mods for PC. So getting it digitally was the way to go for that for me, because that's where I wanted to play it. Not buying it physical. So, I don't know. I'm more of a PC player. You're more of a console player.
Mm-hmm.
And console for you gives you that option to go digital or physical for the most part. And so I guess that's why I lean more digital on my releases than I do anything else. I don't have to get up and change a disc in my machine.
Mm-hmm.
I can just go straight to it if it's there, have it installed, and then start playing it if I want to do that, whatever the case may be. So, I don't know. My preference for PC, and then is probably number one on why I stick to a digital format, and my laziness is probably number two as to why I stick to a digital format. So,
yeah.
That's on me and why I do that. So you, just like you said, like having a physical copy. You like having that.
Having the access in mm-hmm. case something happens.
Which is odd. You know, I've got a shelf full of Blu-rays and 4Ks and Steelbooks. I've got shelves of that stuff. Going back years and years and years. And I know from reading online, through Reddit, through other forums and stuff like that, that material deteriorates over time.
It does.
Regardless of having a physical copy, you own it,
mm-hmm.
but you won't be able to play it. That's you again.
Great.
Okay.
I
don't know why it's doing that, dude.
I don't know. I'll just have to do a YouTube search or something. Or whatever.
I would love to say that it's something informing you of, like, some situation with the car, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. We'll figure something out.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We got 10 minutes here. I don't play Pokemon, but apparently there was a really bad summer showcase for Pokemon. This article from Kotaku, here's the headline. Pokemon's unbelievable bad summer showcase leaves fans high and dry. As if cobbled together the night before, today's Pokemon Presents had almost nothing to offer. This year, the Pokemon Company took the unusual step of announcing today's Pokemon Presents nearly 2 months in advance, way back on May 28th. Usually revealed to be happening within just a few days' notice, this particular two-month run-up suggested that big things could be in store. Oh my goodness, was that ever not the case? As the 24-minute pre-recorded stream went out today, I watched in growing disbelief. Forget could have been an email. This presents could have been a text message. We're adding a few new Pokemon to old games, and there's a generic-looking puzzle game for kids. That was the sum total of new information delivered. Unless the information you'd been craving about this October's Pokemon Legends Z through A, or whatever that's supposed to be called, were the first names of about three characters. Things didn't start out well with a bizarrely amateurish video promoting this year's Pokemon World Championships, accompanied by what looked like camcorder footage of 2024's finals and a guy mumbling about how he hoped we'd come along. Traditionally, Nintendo and Pokemon like to open these videos with something. A fun tease, a cute reveal. But given the entire thing didn't have a single piece of something to offer, it couldn't appear there either. There was a brief moment of happiness where we got to see a bunch of clips from the adorable stop-motion Netflix show Pokemon Concierge, which has new episodes coming on September 4th, before jumping over to UK stop-motion studio Aardman, the guys behind Wallace and Gromit, who have a new show with the astonishing name The Misadventures of Sir Fetched and Pichu, which I could be completely butchering. A brief clip was shown that absolutely did not deliver. But this was all as nothing compared to the cheek-chewingly awkward section on Poke Park Kanto, an as-yet unbuilt new section of some Japanese theme park that's going to be Pokemon-themed. This included the excruciating moment in which the chief creative fellow of the Pokemon company told us how this would be a place where Pokemon truly exist, accompanied by, I kid you not, shots of tiny plastic Pokemon on crappy little models, and then somehow worse, plastic figures just plonked down in some random woodland. Oh my God, I also cannot get over how the chief creative fellow of the Pokemon company was shown looking ever further away from the camera every time he appeared. It was then time to move on to a montage of old games receiving new Pokemon, which would usually appear after a couple of nice surprises rather than someone putting some plastic figures on a tabletop and saying it's a theme park. But then it was time for the big new Pokemon game reveal. Pokemon Friends is a generic-looking puzzle game, the sort that's usually dressed up as improve-your-brain nonsense. Just a bunch of sliding tiles and you may know this better
Sokoban.
Than
Sokoban.
Sokoban games, thank you. And I swear to you, this genuinely was the only new reveal for the entire presents. Rather than anyway acknowledging that there's no new mainline Pokemon game this year, instead we were told about yet more nothingness for the three-year-old Scarlet and Violet games. A chance to get shiny versions of a couple of monsters in raids, and voiceover informing us that it runs better on Switch 2. We also got another quick glimpse at the turn-based strategy game Pokemon Champions announced back in February, but not due until some point in 2026. And then it was the big event. A bunch of things we already knew about Pokemon Legends. Beyond the names of a couple of characters, the only actually new piece of information was that there's going to be a Mega Dragonite. And oh dear God, it's some unholy monstrosity that should have been put down at birth. And then it was done. A two-month pre-announced event that felt like it had been thrown together by a kid who realized their project deadline was tomorrow. Surely there's something they've held back about ZA that we don't know yet, some twist or innovative concept that could have been mentioned, and who gave clearance on dedicating a full 2 minutes to a theme park that's presumably currently a building site, doesn't open until next year, and isn't relevant to 95% of the people watching. There wasn't even a 3D CAD model of the thing to look at. I wish I could have been there to watch the team of people who had to lug some fiberglass Pokemon out to the nearest woods and film them, presumably all just looking at one another in bemusement over why they'd been asked to do this deeply mad thing. But yeah, apparently that was really, really bad. I don't follow Pokemon at all. But seems like it was a pretty bad thing.
Didn't go over well.
Didn't seem to with that guy. I don't know how the Pokemon audience took it, but he didn't seem to enjoy that at all. So, yeah, Lethemiker says Pokemon. It never offered anything. How is this different? Mm-hmm. What were you saying? I'm sorry, I interrupted.
I was thinking when the people behind working on something is like forced to go out there with what they got.
Uh-huh.
And you could tell, like, it's not ready yet. We need more work on this. We need to do more stuff in here. There's no, we got to do no. And then the powers that be say, no, you got to put something out there for the public. go ahead and do it with whatever you got, and this is all we got. And so they're not going to look too
happy
about
that. 2 month advance announcement, though. Like, you could have at least said, hey, we need to delay it. But I guess not. I don't know. I think that's what they had, honestly. I think they were able to do that and said, no, this is what we got. They're going to love this. Let's talk about it. And then it went over horribly. Mm. Just let Nintendo do their stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let Nintendo handle your stuff there, Pokemon, if you can. Not saying it'll be any better, but at least they might mix it in with stuff that kind of washes over the memory of what you just saw, mm-hmm. so that they don't have to focus on how bad it was. Because that was the only thing you had to offer. Apparently, we're supposed to get some Nintendo Direct. I have no idea what it's going to be about, but it's probably coming within the next week or days.
Any Pokemon going to be in there?
I don't know what's going to be in there. I have no idea. I would imagine it's got to be something for the Switch, too, but I have no clue what it's going to be about. Mm-hmm. I know they're doing some play tests that they're going to be ramping up, so I'm not sure. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for us. We are done for this week. Remember, there's no show next week, and we will be back the week after that. So thank you guys for joining us in the chat room and listening. We do appreciate it, and we hope you'll stick around with us as well. We got music here from Crash Bandicoot. It's the main menu music, and we hope you have a great 2 weeks here. We'll see you back in a week from next Saturday. Have a good one.